The Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah, chapter 55, 1 through 5. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which does not satisfy. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because the Lord, your God, and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson comes from Romans chapter 9, 1 through 5. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness to the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could not wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ who is God over all. Blessed forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Now when Jesus heard about the death of John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. It's already August. What's happened to this year? Actually, what has happened to this year? You know, by nature, we are social creatures. We need to be with other people. But we all know what's happened is that lovely little thing called COVID-19, or what I like to call the Chinese virus. We want to come together, but we can't because of health reasons. And you realize before this whole thing ever broke, by the way, would anybody have possibly imagined this in January? You know what? There was no book written. What do you do when? How do you handle this if? It was completely unscripted. They said there's a lot of fear, anxiety, and depression in society as a result. There's a certain feeling of emptiness because we cannot gather together as we once did. We're grieving what we've lost, like family reunions, cookouts, pitch-ins. That's what I miss, is the pitch-ins. All right? We're grieving what we've lost. Eventually it'll come back, but we're grieving what we don't have now. And we know that some in our society are even struggling to pay their bills. And I think everybody's worried about their health to a certain degree. As I said, there's more signs of depression, anxiety, and fear. And it's easy to feel alone when you have to stay more or less in your house as much as possible. As I said, social connection is essential to the human being. Although we don't have it, it doesn't mean we quit. We start doing something about it. I think in the gospel lesson, we're going to find some answers to the problems plaguing us today. This is an important story. Besides the resurrection, this is the only other event that's recorded in all four gospels. It's the feeding of the 5,000, as we call it. All right? It captures the material and spiritual needs of the people at that time. Just to give you some information about the feeding of the 5,000, it says, and with women and children, all right? So who knows how many, 15, 20,000 that he fed that day. But he takes the bread and he gives it to the people. The Bible said that when the Messiah came, the manna would return. The Jews took from an apocryphal book that said that when the Messiah comes, the rivers will be full of fish. So what's the two things he uses? Bread and fish. What was he saying? I'm the Messiah. How many baskets did they pick up when it was over with? 12. When you hear the number 12 in the Bible, what do you think of? You got to talk louder. I'm old. Number of disciples, but let's go back to the Old Testament. The 12 tribes. He's telling them in a couple different ways, your Messiah has arrived. It said, when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. Many times in the gospel lessons, we read that Jesus had compassion before he began to heal the people. He had compassion for the sinners. He had compassion for the lonely and the lost. He says of the people of Israel, they're like sheep without a shepherd. What an indictment to the religious leaders of the day. The people are like sheep without a shepherd, because you know who the shepherd were supposed to have been? The religious leaders of the day, and they weren't there. Compassion, of course, is a verb. In other words, you do something. When Jesus sees the people, he has compassion. He's sensitive to their needs. He knows the heart. He knows they have needs. He sees the helpless, and it touches him. The idea of compassion is that deep feeling within, but it has to be acted upon. Now, he's going to help the people in the gospel lesson, but he's also teaching the disciples an important lesson. You're going to have to take care of the people. You've got to have compassion to meet needs. I said compassion is a verb. It's a reaction to something we generally see or hear. And also, as I said, it depends on what we hear. How do we listen to a person? Not just hear the words, but really listen to what they're saying. You know, when we really listen to a person, it gives them a certain level of dignity and respect. What had Jesus heard? Well, our gospel lesson begins when he heard about the death of John. He withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place, and hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. Herod had killed John the Baptist. And to keep this a family-friendly show, the reason that happened is Herod's niece did a very exotic dance. And Herod foolishly, being a man and not thinking at this point, said, I'll give you anything you want to half my kingdom. And she replies, of course, we know the story. She replies, I want the head of John the Baptist. Jesus needed time to pray and to grieve. Think about that. Jesus needed time to grieve. Although he knew exactly where John the Baptist was in heaven, Jesus still grieved for his loss on the earth. The crowd had probably also heard of the death of John, and it would have impacted the crowd too. They would have been very uneasy that day because they all believed that John the Baptist was a prophet. And the prophet had not been in Israel for 400 years. God had not spoken to the people in 400 years. Suddenly John appears and they think the prophets are back. And what do they do to another prophet like they did to the old ones in the Old Testament? This one gets killed too. They're frightened. They needed some comfort from Jesus. He takes the boat. He goes across the lake and the people go on the outside loop of the lake to meet him on the other side. And when he comes to the shore, it says he saw a large crowd. He saw the grief. He saw the pain. He saw the need for healing. And it says he had compassion on the people. He knows. He identifies with our pain also. He spent the day healing and teaching. And then when night comes, there's no food. The disciples say this is a remote place. Send the crowds away so that they can go into the villages and buy themselves some food. But Jesus takes an entirely different approach. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. And what did they have? Five loaves, small loaves. Think of Bob Evans biscuits. All right. And a couple pieces of their fish. You get the idea? I like Bob Evans. All right. That's all they had. He's teaching the disciples, you have to be part of the miracles that I'm going to perform. How do we do that today? How do we feed 5,000? How does our church feed 5,000? Now I got you thinking. Well, we don't do it alone. We do it in collaboration with a bunch of other churches in the area. The food pantry box is where we collect food and other supplies every month. All right. God's still feeding 5,000 people. He just does it now through us working with other churches and people. Thousands are fed. And I mentioned the virus at the beginning of the sermon. I can only imagine what the food pantries must look like after so many people have been out of work for so long. Part of the lesson of this gospel is a challenge. It's a challenge to address a problem and solve it. The disciples were shocked. What do you mean we're supposed to feed them? See, they had a theology, I'll call it, of scarcity rather than a theology of plenty. Theology of scarcity. We don't have enough. We can't do this. It's completely out of the question. And then they say, we only have five loaves and two fish. How oftentimes do we think in terms of what we have rather than what we don't have? Maybe in these troubled times, that's what we need to focus on, is what we have rather than what we don't have anymore. We still have a church. We still function. The gospel's still being preached. Bible's still being taught. We all grow, myself included, in our relationship with God. Part of this message of the gospel lesson is embrace a challenge. Don't run from it. Embrace it. Bring forth what we have and God will take care of the rest. We shouldn't get so wrapped up in our problems. I turned off the news. You know what? I felt better. There's a suggestion. You want to feel better in these times? Turn the TV off. And you'll feel better, because when you turn it on, what's it only talking about? I would rather look around and see what I do have rather than what I don't have. When we see a need in our community, instead of thinking, send them away, they're not our concern, they are our concern. We need to be generous and share. We are called as Christians to be compassionate. And the needs are really so great. Excuse me. There's a natural hungering within the human soul also for God. By nature, humans seek God. We seek a purpose, we seek a meaning, and we seek hope. All right, and we share what we've also been given, whether that's our talents, our money, our compassion. We share that. Our love or our time. We share all those things. The feeding of the 5,000 is a call to distinguish ourselves by our love, by our compassion, by our resourcefulness, generosity, and faith. The world is starving for love. It's starving for hope. And the hope that we have is Jesus Christ. So Jesus says to you, He says to me, don't send them away. You give them something to eat. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.